This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. Okay, I'm delighted and honored to have here on BPN Radio today my friend and one of my heroes in the faith, a man that I first heard preach in 1968 in West Texas, and decided then and there, as I was pastoring my first church in a little town in Texas, I decided then and there I wanted to be a preacher just like Marvin Gorman. So I've known Brother Gorman for over 40 years. He's a preacher's preacher. He's preached the gospel for over 60 years, and that's a long time. When God called him as a young man from Arkansas, he imparted to him a compassionate love for humanity. He and his wife, Virginia, served over as pastors for over 37 years, including First Assembly of God Church in New Orleans, which grew from 100 to well over 6,000 members, become one of the largest churches in the Assemblies of God denomination at that time. They also began a radio and television ministry outreach where programs were broadcast daily throughout the United States as well as overseas. In 1985, Brother Gorman established Foundation for Human Helps. This organization was formed to effectively increase his ability to reach out to humanity around the world. His heart cry has always been to see the lost come to Jesus Christ, to bring healing to the sick, restoration to those who are broken. His goal is to train, develop leaders, to assist them in accomplishing all that God desires them to be by making available a variety of training materials. He's a source of inspiration, encouragement to church leaders around the world, a spiritual father to many. His ministry challenges believers to strive forward and reach a higher spiritual level, a deeper walk with the Lord. Because of his years of anointed ministry and godly wisdom, fellow ministers continually seek Reverend Gorman's counsel and support, and I believe he's one of the great preachers in America. Brother Marvin Gorman, my friend, welcome to BPN Radio today.
Thank you so much, my brother. It's a joy to be with you. Always look forward to talking with you, and especially today.
Well, it's so good to have you on. I've been planning on having you for a long time. And Gene and I love the Gorman family, and you guys, you and your kids and your grandkids are a tremendous blessing to our lives, and you certainly have some godly generations that are following into your footsteps. So what has been happening in your ministry lately? What's been taking place?
Well, one of the things that happening that I am so excited about. I felt led of God about 4 or 5 years ago to write a book on the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit to describe him and the various ways that he has assisted me in my walk with God and in the ministry, and how that his gifts have equipped me to be a conqueror in every situation that I've ever faced.
Yeah.
And you just can't have a better friend than the Holy Spirit.
I know that.
And so I put together this book, The Master Mentor.
Uh-huh.
And I feel the Holy Spirit has mentored me. See, I didn't come from a religious background. My father was not a Christian. My mother was a Christian, but my father opposed us quite a bit before he was saved. I'm happy to say that he's in heaven now waiting for us, mm-hmm. because the Lord brought him into salvation as I prayed with him, and I'm so thankful for that. But mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit actually mentored me mm-hmm. and showed me and spoke to me. You know, I feel sorry for people who feel that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak. But I want to tell you, and this will be opposed by a lot of people, but I'm going to say it, the Holy Spirit speaks with an audible voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because he spoke to me on several occasions with an audible voice that I thought it was someone else calling me, and I checked it out, and it was the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And he has spoken to me through the years, Brother Gentry, and helped me to make some very difficult decisions. But always, when he's in charge, you'll make the right decision.
Right. I agree. I love the Holy Spirit. Excited about your new book. I haven't got a copy yet, but The Master Mentor, will let people know how they can order it in a few minutes. I always love to hear people's stories, and I know you have quite a story on your call to preach as a boy in Arkansas. How did it happen? How was you called to preach, and how did you get started?
Well, I grew up on a farm, and I was operating a tractor, and I prayed on that tractor by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would pray and worship God and give praise to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit would be so real to me on that tractor until it just seemed like that he was personally right there. And he was talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this. And being on the farm, my daddy and my brothers, they worked with a hired crew to do all of the hoe work on the farm, and I operated the big tractor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was plowing, and I was trying to finish this field that I was in before I left that night. So I plowed until around 11 o'clock that night in this field to finish it up. Well, somewhere around 9 or 10 o'clock that night, I was going across the field, and I was praying and thanking God and asking him to help me to be all that he wanted me to be. And I heard a voice call my name. And I thought it was one of my brothers that my mother had sent to get me or to check on me to see what was going on, because I usually went in around 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. But tonight I'm going into the night. Well, I stopped the tractor, looked around, and there was nobody there. Got back on the tractor and went out to the end of the rows of cotton that I was plowing. And as I swung the big tractor around to go back across the field, I heard a voice call me that I thought was in the edge of the woods. And so I stopped my tractor, turned on the back lights, went out into the area and called for my brother. I thought it was my brother that had come there to get me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't find anyone. I got back on the tractor and started back across the field. And I got about halfway across the field, and I was still praying and worshiping God and just having a great time in the Spirit. And this voice called me again. I stopped the tractor, turned on the back lights, and was going to get off and look around in the field. And as I started to get off of the tractor, that voice spoke to me and says, "It is I. It's the Lord."
Hmm.
And he said, "Will you preach my word?" And boy, I mean, I wept and praised God and rejoiced. And of course, I said, yes, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I will do it. I'm yours. Uh-huh. I give myself totally to you. And that's how I was called into the ministry.
Wow.
There's no doubt in my mind. It was a very, very definite time and a definite place with a definite voice. I could take you today to the area where I was in the field when God spoke to me.
That's amazing. And then after he called you, then what did you do? How did you get started preaching?
Well, I didn't know anyone much. And so this is going to be very, very strange. I was praying. I knew a deacon in a church, and he and I had worked together some. And so the Lord told me, he said, I want you to preach a revival in Frenchport, Arkansas. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know the pastor there. And he says, I want you to preach a revival there. And I said, I don't know him. And the Spirit said to me, you don't know the pastor, but you know a deacon. And I said, Lord, that's not really the way you ought to do it. You shouldn't go through somebody else.
Yeah.
And the Lord says, obey me. And I did. I went to the deacon and told him. Now, this will show you how green I was, brother. I told the deacon, I said, God spoke to me and told me he wants me to start a revival in Frenchport. Now, this is Friday evening late. And I said, and he wants me to start Sunday. And he went to the pastor, told the pastor, and the pastor broke into tears. They told me about this and said, oh, thank God. Said, the last two evangelists we had did us more harm than good. And he said, I've been praying God would send us an evangelist. And I believe that God's sending this young man to us. So I went there and started on Sunday morning.
And you never had preached before?
No, never. I had testified, but really hadn't preached. I went there on Sunday morning, and I preached the Sunday morning to about 35 people. Well, Sunday night when I went back, the place was filled.
Oh, wow.
Then the next night, on Monday night, there were people standing outside. It was a country church, and in those days, they didn't have air conditioning, and they had raised the windows.
Yeah.
And people were standing around the windows listening. On Wednesday night, they told me there were more people outside than there was inside, and the building would seat about 300 people.
That's amazing.
And when I gave the invitation that night, as people stepped into the building, some of those big men were under conviction standing outside. As they stepped in the door, they fell face down. Well, see, I'd never seen anyone slain in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what was going on.
Uh-huh.
And about this time, a woman got up over to my left and started to come to the front, and she fell. And then the one over on my right started, and she fell.
Uh-huh.
So here I am. These people are all falling out. And I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, what's causing these people to faint? I didn't know what was happening.
Wow.
I've never seen anything like this.
How old were you at the time?
I was an old, old man. I was 17.
17 years old. That
yeah,
is amazing.
And so the revival went on, and on Thursday night, I preached on healing. Because I was healed when I was just a boy, about, 13, 14 years of age, I was healed. And so my mother was a Christian, and God miraculously healed me. See, I had become a Christian, but I was not, I just didn't know much about anything concerning the church world.
Uh-huh.
I had accepted Christ in a rural church, and they was having a summer revival. And I was there, and God dealt with my heart, and I accepted him. Well, that night, on Thursday night, while I'm praying for the sick, a young woman came to the front, dragging her foot, and with her arm all deformed, who had had polio when she was about 6 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And she stood before me and wanted prayer for healing. Well, I was so scared. I was just crying. And I said, God, I've never seen anybody heal like this. I've never seen anything happen like this. Lord, I don't know whether this can happen. And I just stood there crying. And all at once, I saw her straighten her hand out.
Wow.
And then I saw her foot straightened up, and she was totally healed.
Praise
by
God.
The power of God.
Praise God.
Amen. Now let me jump real quickly. About 4 years ago, I was back in Camden, Arkansas, preaching. The building is packed. And I'm telling this story because Camden is not too far from Frenchport. And as I'm telling this story, a woman over to my left raised her hand and cried out. And I stopped. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'm that woman, and I'm still healed today by the power of God. And after all those years, she's still healed and going on.
Oh, praise God.
That's the way I got started in the service. And there's such supernatural outpouring there that the revival, I told the pastor, I said, brother, I got to close this meeting. Now, this is right after the girl got healed.
Uh-huh.
I said, I got to close this meeting tomorrow night. And he said, oh, brother, you can't do that. We've been praying and fasting for a move of God like this. And I said, but you don't understand. I got to close tomorrow night. And so he said, Brother Gorman, if you close this meeting, you're going to miss God. Well, boy, that struck a note with me. I did not want to miss God. And I looked at him and I said, I'm crying now because I'm scared. I don't know what to do.
Uh-huh.
I said to him, you got to understand, brother, when I came here, I had enough sermons to go through tomorrow night. And after tomorrow night, it's over. And he grabbed me and hugged me, and he said, oh, son, don't worry about it. God will give you messages. And I stayed there for 2 weeks, and we had a revival that shook up. People drove in from miles and miles around to be in those services.
Wow.
And I'm just a 17-year-old boy preaching.
So you were called to preach on a Friday night and started a two-week revival on Sunday morning for the first time that you preached, went for 2 weeks, had miracles. That's an incredible testimony that God did in your life. And then, of course, you just got launched out and you continued on.
That is right. I got launched out and I started working at a paper mill. I went from the farm to the paper mill, and I'm working there, and I'm praying every day, and I'm seeking God, and I'm doing a lot of fasting. I want to obey God. I want to do His will.
Yeah.
And so I got an invitation to go preach at another place, but I was going to have to be off from work. And so I went to my supervisor and asked him if I could get off for a week. And so I went to preach, and God just poured out of his spirit again. Just awesome things are happening. And so I went back to my boss, and I told him, I'm not going to be able to come back. He says, little preach, you go ahead and preach. I'll hold your job. They held my job for 3 years. And then I told him, I said, brother, I'm not ever coming back to work. I'm going to preach for the rest of my life. And he says, you go and preach and do what you feel God wants you to do. Now, this was not a Christian man. It's not a Christian man. And so this man that I was dealing with was a man that, well, he's just a normal sinner, okay? Well, later, when I married my wife, I found out this man who was my supervisor was my wife's uncle.
That's amazing.
And I hadn't even met my wife at the time that he was my supervisor.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing how you got started. I want to break in and let people know that I'm visiting with my longtime friend, Marvin Gorman, Reverend Marvin Gorman, and from the great state of Louisiana. Now, I grew up in Arkansas. He's here on BPN Radio today, your 24-hour internet prayer station, as we pray for revivals in America and other spiritual awakening. And BPN Radio is a member of the Breakout Prayer Network. And Brother Gorman's had a tremendous influence on my life. I first heard him in Midland, Texas in 1968. And then in 1972, I was in the Assemblies of God. I was a sectional youth leader and had about 35 churches in my section. And I invited Brother Gorman to come and minister to the youth of that section, those 35 churches. And every night we would go to a different place. I guess you remember that, don't you?
Yes, I do, brother. Yes, I do.
Yeah, it was a great.
It was an awesome time.
Yeah,
and it was another one of those doors that opened. See, I didn't really know you.
No.
And God just led you to invite me.
That's right.
But it opened the doors up in West Texas, and I don't know how many youth camps I preached in West Texas and camp meetings and district councils and what have you over the years, because God had done such a mighty work using you to invite me there.
Yeah.
And that's the way God has directed my life.
I know.
He just put people in my path that were led of God, and I obeyed, and God did the rest.
Well, every day I pray for divine appointments and divine connections, and I'm so thankful, Brother Gorman, that God connected me with you and your ministry, and you were just an inspiration to my life. And so you left your job. I have a similar story. You know, I just left. I was at a radio station and just told the general manager, I'm going to go preach. And he said, well, Dale, you go, but when you decide to come back, your job is waiting for you. I've never been back. You never went back. So you started preaching revivals, and eventually, you know, I know that your ministry began to expand, the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon your life, and I know that God continued to promote your life. I know you became one of the general presbyters in the Assemblies of God movement, and you was the state youth leader there in Louisiana. Then you went to First Assembly of God Church in New Orleans, which only had 100 people, and you grew to over 6,000. How did that happen? How did you grow to over 6,000 members there at First Assembly?
By the Holy Spirit and the supernatural. See, God, if you'll listen to what God tells you to do and do it, there is no failure. And God told me to put an ad in the paper. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I put ads in the paper before. He said, but you put this ad in the paper. And the Lord, I drew out the ad. I knew I didn't have but a small amount of money to run an ad. It was only one column wide and 2 inches tall. And so I put in there the church name and my name and all the data. And then I told the time of the worship service on Sunday morning. Then I started for Sunday night. And I put down there evangelistic service and prayer for the sick and what have you. And the Spirit spoke to me and says, no, I want you to pray for the sick Sunday morning. Well, at that particular time, that wasn't the order of how God had led for people across the nation. Uh-huh. All your healing services and all were on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And that's the way they advertised them. And so I explained that to God.
Yeah.
And God said to me, said, you obey me. Well, he won, and I put it in that I'd be praying for the sick on Sunday morning around 11 o'clock. Well, on Sunday morning at about 7 a.m., I received a phone call, and the gentleman asked me if I was the guy who put the ad in the paper, and I told him yes. And he said, will you be praying for the sick this morning? I said, yes, I will. Somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock, I'll be praying for the sick.
Mm-hmm.
He said, will you pray for a Catholic? I said, I certainly will. He said, my wife is Catholic, and I'm Catholic, and she's had 5 strokes, and I am going to get men to help me bring her today, and we'll be there for the 11 o'clock service.
Uh-huh.
Well, they came, and this man was drunk as all get out, and I met them before service. And I had never seen a person whose face was as disfigured as his wife. And she was crippled. She couldn't raise an arm, move a leg, anything like this. I mean, she was totally paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I preached that. Well, I had my Sunday school class. And then after I had the Sunday school class, then we started the 11 o'clock service. Well, we just started. The first song was being sung. And that didn't even got into the service good. And God told me, he said, it's time to pray for the lady. And I said, well, Lord, I'll wait. They're singing. He says, obey me. I got up and I went to the man who was directing the worship service. And I said, God wants me to take the service. I took the service, called for 2 ushers to bring the woman and sit her on the altar because she couldn't stand. You got to understand, this woman is totally paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
2 men literally picked her up and brought her down and set her there, and they set her facing the audience.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to myself, you stupid men, why didn't you put her back to the audience so that if she doesn't get healed, I'll have a moment to get my composure? And so the Lord, I walked down in front of her. I'd met her, and I called her by name, and I put my finger on her, and I said, God told me to pray for you. I started praying. I can't tell you what I said. It was something simple. But all at once, she jerked. And when she did, the paralysis started leaving. And in a few moments, she stood up. And she stood there very wobbly. Now, she hadn't walked in 5 years. And then she began to shuffle. And then she started walking.
Oh, wow.
And she walked back and forth across the front of that church. Well, of course, the church went wild when they saw that. I didn't know that these were very prominent business people. And that everybody around knew them. I didn't know that they had two Catholic sisters in their family and one Catholic priest.
That's amazing.
And so they went everywhere telling what had happened. Because of all the business connections, they were talking to businessmen, lawyers, bankers, what have you, about how that they called her mama, how mama was healed. They expected mama to die. And here she is now driving a car. And so the next year, that year after she was healed, they brought into the church 38 families of businessmen, professional people, one judge, and all of these people got saved and filled with the Spirit. And when they did, our church just jumped. You imagine what 38 families will do to a congregation of 100 people.
Oh, wow, yes.
And that church took off. And it never stopped growing. And that's the thing that broke it open.
Wow, that's an amazing story. I know it's a true story because I know you had to move to another location. And
yes, I did.
And my wife, Jean, and I personally came and saw what was happening there in the church. And it was evident that there were signs, wonders, and miracles taking place. It had a major effect on my life in the church that I was pastoring in Oklahoma. But just seeing how Brother Gorman, you were a Spirit-led man, and that's what I see missing in so many churches today is that pastors and church leaders do not know how to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They have a set program, and not many people would interrupt the worship or the singing to call out a person and pray for the sick. But I watched you and I saw how you were led by the Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. I know that you love the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for the times that you invited me to come to New Orleans and minister for you, and just seeing your love for the Holy Ghost. And I believe that's a missing element. And I believe as the church returns to Spirit-led services, I know that's going to make a difference. And I believe that the ministry lacks preachers today, ministers of God who know how to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But you are certainly one.
That is exactly right.
You know how to do that.
It's not by might nor by power. It's not by programs nor planned designs.
That's right.
But it's by God's Spirit the church is going to become the powerhouse in your community.
I believe that. And I believe that's a missing element. And I believe when the church returns to honoring the Holy Ghost and being Spirit-led, I believe we're going to have revivals in a dimension that we've not had ever. And so I believe that there's a call today for men that know how to operate with the Holy Ghost. What pastors or preachers or people that have a call for God? I mean, what do you say about how to be led by the Spirit of God?
Get alone with God and meditate. See, because of Eastern religions, we have let the devil rob us of meditation. Meditate in the law of both day and night.
Yeah.
Then thou shalt have success.
Yeah.
And then shall you make your way prosperous.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that being not just praying, you got to pray a lot. I believe in that. But you got to meditate. You got to sit there and let God speak to you. And then once he speaks, you got to have the courage and the faith to obey.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that. And you have certainly demonstrated that over the years. And I guess I would like to ask you, after preaching now for over 60 years, why don't you retire? Why don't you take it easy? Why do you keep going?
How can you retire when there's so many hurting people? See, yesterday I preached in a church where we saw God demonstrate his power in healing, in filling people with the Holy Ghost, and drawing people close to him. How can you even think the word retirement is not in my vocabulary?
Well,
that's not going to happen. I've told my wife, I said, I know it'd be hard on the congregation, but I wouldn't mind if I was preaching when God suddenly took me home.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've made that request. I've made that request also. Let me go to heaven with a microphone in my hand. And just put the Bible in one hand, the microphone in the other. Bury me there, and write on my tombstone, "The man who prayed." You know, I don't understand. I don't understand today why men who have reached a place like yourself, that the anointing is still there. You've got all of that experience under your belt. You know how to operate in the realm of the Holy Spirit. I don't know why men are turning aside and retiring. They say they're retiring when they have so much to give. And I would say shame on any denomination or movement that would encourage their men to retire at a certain age, and congregations that are not honoring the older men that really at a place where they can impart incredible wisdom and instruction. And so I believe there's going to be a reviving of older preachers.
Let me tell you something that impacted me very strong. About, I guess, 2 years ago, I was reading an article, and I don't even remember what the article, what magazine it was in or anything. But this statement was made. It was a religious article, and this is what it said. No man has a right to die until he's empty.
Oh, that's good. No man has a right to die until he's empty.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to empty myself.
Well, I believe.
Amen.
And I keep watching you, and you're encouraging me to continue on. And I want to do
Amen.
That.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Yeah,
I want to serve my generation. And
that's right.
I want to be a man that follows the leadership of the Holy Spirit like you do. I want you to I'm so glad you're on today, and I want you just to take a few moments. I'm going to play some prayer music. I want you to pray for the sick, pray for people that have a passion. There's a dearth in the land of preachers. We need preachers. And where are all
Amen.
Of the preachers? Where the Holy Spirit just asked me the question one day, where have all the preachers gone? And we need some preachers, men that will and women that will raise their voices and begin to declare. So I want you to pray for some preachers, pray for the sick, however the Holy Spirit leads you to pray, Brother Gorman. I love to hear you pray, so go for it.
Okay, sir. Father, I pause to say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to share with this radio audience what you have done in my life, and you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And every person who desires more of you can certainly draw nigh to you, and you will draw nigh to them. You desire to reveal yourself to hungry hearts and to yielded vessels, that they may have faith to move forth and see the manifestations of your power in and through their lives. Father, I call upon you to challenge the hearts of every person, minister and laity, that's listening to my voice, challenge them to seek you. Lord, you are a mighty God who wants to do mighty things. You just need somebody who will dare to believe you that there's nothing impossible with you. You are the God of the impossible. I thank you, Lord, for my dear friend. And I thank you for the burden you put on his heart with this radio ministry. Continue to use him. Continue to lead him. Continue to guide him, O God. Let your divine revelation be more real to him in his senior years than it has ever been in his life. Lord, make yourself so real that his faith will abound on every side and he will see the demonstration of your great and mighty power. Now touch the sick. Help those that are hurting. Help the lonely and those, Lord Jesus, who are going through tremendous battle. Help them now and minister to them. Let your presence be upon them and cause your power to bring revelation into their life, that their faith would not stand in man, but would stand in God and his mighty power and his word. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. And thank you so very, very much for being on today. I know you have a website, Brother Marvin Gorman, and how can people, what is your web address? How can people get in contact with you?
MarvinGorman.com.
That's pretty simple.
It's a hard one to remember.
That's right. Marvin Gorman.
MarvinGorman.com.
G-O-R-M-A-N. And and they can follow your ministry there. They can donate. They can order your new book, and
that's right.
And listen to your sermons, whatever. I've looked at your website. It's great. MarvinGorman.com. Yeah, MarvinGorman.com. Well, what a privilege it is to be on to have you on today. We've had a lot of memories over the years, and. And we were able to go to Israel one time together. That was a very historic occasion. And
awesome time.
Yeah. Thank you for being on the broadcast today. I'm thankful that you're continuing on, and I'm just declaring this is going to be a fantastic year for you, Brother Gorman. And I so appreciate you sowing into my life and sowing into so many, many other people's lives. And we'll look forward to having you back again.
Keep up the good work, brother. I love you, and my wife loves to read your articles, and we'll be looking forward for more rich nuggets.
Thank you, Brother Gorman. God bless you.
God bless. Okay. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
truly believe. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Amen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Who can stop singing?
Come.